calling him an alcoholic.
I want to thank Kevin for asking me to do this. It certainly has been an eye-opening experience for me. You know that I do my work to get ready for this, and of course tonight is the third step. And boy, that was a struggle when I first took it. And I looked up in several places the principle behind this step, and I found again two: commitment, trust. So, and of course the third step is we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. And that's the God, the first time that phrase appears in the steps is God as we understand Him. And a lot like Jim, I use the word God because it's my conception of a higher power, but substitute whatever you have to in there to feel comfortable taking this step or thinking, praying about this step. And, this morning, I was really nervous about it. I tried this yesterday, and it came out like a pile of crap, you know, and I thought, oh, geez, I'm going to be... So this morning I thought, well, what am I going to do? Well, I can mull over this thing and or I can try turning my will and my life over to the care of God. And one of the best places for me to do that is outside playing in the dirt. And I got to tell you how that's even a part of it, because last year when the winter finally broke and it was time to go out and start working in the yard, I couldn't do it. I'd go out there for about a half an hour and I would be so emotionally distraught that I couldn't stay outside, because Tom and I always did yard work together. And I went out there and I was missing him and I was mourning him and I couldn't stay out there. Well, fortunately for me, my son moved up and he started doing a lot of the mowing. And last year I did a minimum amount. So that meant when this spring got here, I had a lot of yard work to do. And I asked God for help. You know, and he doesn't pick up a shovel. You know, I couldn't talk him into that. But what he did was he gave me the ability to talk to him the whole time I'm out there digging in the dirt or pulling weeds or mowing grass or carrying mulch. Oh my God, I'm so tired of wheelbarrows full of mulch. But anyhow, and so this morning I went out there. It was cool, it was sunshiny, it was beautiful, and I spent a lot of time talking to God, and I try really hard to listen, but I talk more than, you know, okay, God, I'm going to listen for a while. I'm going to just concentrate on breathing in and breathing out and digging up this soil. And, you know, the next thing I know, I've got thoughts going through my head. But anyhow, I tried really hard this morning to turn this over. And we'll find out, huh? And, you know, willpower is not a bad thing. It's how I try to use my willpower. If I use my willpower trying to get you to do something I want you to do, that's a misuse of my willpower. But in As Bill Sees It, and that's a book I've been using to base what I'm saying up here on the steps, he talks about, we AAs know the futility of trying to break the drinking obsession by willpower alone. However, we do know that it takes great willingness to adopt AA's 12 steps as a way of life that can restore us to sanity. No matter how grievous the alcoholic obsession, we happily find that other vital choices can still be made. For example, we can choose to admit that we are personally powerless over alcohol. That dependence upon a higher power is a necessity. And even if this be simply dependence upon the AA group, then we can choose to try for a life of honesty and humility of selfless service to our fellows and to God as we understand Him. As we continue to make these choices and so move toward these higher aspirations, our sanity returns and the compulsion to drink vanishes. So there is, you know, there's room for willpower in here. I don't have to give up my willpower, but I have to give up my will over to the care of God. And what does that really entail? Well, I have a prayer that I read every day that talks about this decision in the third step. And it goes like this: God, I'd like to make the decision with you that the third step calls for. Take and receive, O Lord, all my liberty. Take my memory, my understanding, and my entire self-centered self-will. Whatsoever I have or hold, you have given me. I give it all back to you and surrender it wholly, totally, completely, and unconditionally to be put in your care, to be governed by your will. So take my desire to run things, to dominate people, influence events, manipulate, maneuver, con, turn, twist, arrange, rearrange, and direct. Take the I want what I want when I want it the way I want it. Take that passion for control to tell others what, when, where, and how much of everything to do. Take them all, God, and put them in your care. Give me only your love and your grace and the ability to accept whatever happens to me. Let me accept it graciously as being allowed by you, and I will be rich enough and ask for nothing more. So to me, that's what it means when I'm to the point where I'm going to carry this decision through. Do I do it 100% all the time? You kidding. But you know, when I do it in the situations in which I say, okay, God, this is yours, it turns out beautifully. But when we're on the third step, at the beginning of our journey through these steps, this is only a decision at this time. And a decision is defined as a choice you make about something after thinking about it. And Bill talks about good choices here on page 124, if you happen to be looking at your book. Looking back, we see that our freedom to choose badly was not, after all, a very real freedom. When we choose because we must, this is not a free choice either. But it got us started in the right direction. When we choose because we ought to, we were really doing better. This time we were earning some freedom in making ourselves ready for more. But when, now and then, we would gladly make right choices without rebellion, holdout, or conflict, then we had our first view of what perfect freedom under God's will could be like. So, choices. Oh my goodness gracious. If any of you have heard my lead, you know that I had make some very big decisions in my life on very horrible reasons. For example, when I graduated from high school and it was time to go on to college, I made the decision to go to the school that I went to because I had a boyfriend in the jail very close to where I was going to school. Now that is not... Yes. Okay. Yeah. When I was 19 years old, I made the choice to get married. And the reason, my mother had passed away when I was 16, and my dad turned the house over to me, and he expected me to cook and clean and do laundry and take care of my little brother, who was 8 at the time, and I hated doing it. And so in my infinite wisdom at that time, I decided that I'd get married and not have to go home and do all that stuff. So I got married, and then I cooked and I cleaned and I did laundry and I had a baby. Yeah, my decision maker was definitely broken back in those days. And that's before I really started to drink heavily. Let's see, a decision today. Let's see what a decision to me means today. A couple days ago, I made the decision that I'm going to take a Rose Marina to the Grove City Pig Roast on Saturday. Now, I made that decision. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden this dish of Rose Marina appeared in front of me. I had to check for the recipe to make sure I had all the ingredients. Might have to run to the store to buy them. I have to get all those ingredients out and begin the preparation. Take some cooking and some chilling and some mixing and what have you. And come Saturday morning, I'll have a bowl of Rose Marina to take to that picnic. Now, that decision did not get that bowl of Rose Marina made. That decision just said, I'm going to do what I need to do so that I can accomplish that. And that's just with one little thing, you know, big decisions in my life. When I was 5 years sober, I decided I wanted to go back to school full time. Well, that took a lot of footwork to get it in motion. You know, I had to decide where I was going to go to school, what I was going to major in. I had to make application. I had to get a leave from work. In my case, I had to sell my house. I had to find a place to live down there. I had to send in the transcripts and get accepted. Oh yeah, that was way back at the beginning. There was a lot of things that I had to do before the day I walked onto campus and was a full-time student. And so it is, I believe, with this third step. I'll make the decision now. Now I have to do some footwork towards that decision to make it a reality. And for me, and I've read this someplace and I couldn't find it in as Bill sees it, what I have to do is continue working steps 4 through 10. And then in step 11 is when I actually have that, what does it say in step 11? That I will sought through prayer and meditation for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. You know, that's what I made the decision to do back in the third step. So the pressure's off right away. You know, this is just a decision. I'm going to do the work towards it. You know, I hear so many people saying, I turned it over and I took it back, and I turned it over and I took it back. Well, at the third step, it's just a decision to turn it over, you know. I'll work towards it, but there are some good things that I can do. Let's see what Bill says about taking back the power to make a decision, which is, there it is. We must never be blinded by the futile philosophy that we are just the hapless victims of our inheritance, of our life experience, and of our surroundings. These are the sole forces that make our decisions for us. This is not the road to freedom. We have to believe that we can really choose. As active alcoholics, we lost our ability to choose whether we would drink. We were the victims of a compulsion which seemed to decree that we must go on with our own destruction. Yet we finally did make choices that brought about our recovery. We came to believe that alone we were powerless over alcohol. This was surely a choice, and a most difficult one. We came to believe that a higher power could restore us to sanity when we became willing to practice AA's 12 steps. In short, we chose to become willing, and no better choice did we ever make. I like that one. So, okay. The next thing that's necessary in step 3, and it's necessary in every step, I believe, is the willingness. And the willingness is necessary for the decision. And willingness is defined as the quality or state of being prepared to do something, readiness. And Bill talks about that readiness. If you are asking yourself, as all of us must, Who am I? Where am I? I love this one. Whence do I go? I've never said whence in my life until tonight, but here it is. The process of enlightenment is usually slow, but in the end, our seeking always brings a finding. These great mysteries are, after all, enshrined in complete simplicity. The willingness to grow is the essence of all spiritual development. And like I said in the first step, that, you know, we're working towards a spiritual awakening. So this willingness comes as part of our development towards that spiritual experience. I have to keep checking my... Yeah. Okay, and working towards God's will. Boy, Bill uses some really strong words, I believe, in this next quote. There is God, your higher power, our Father, who very simply says, I am waiting for you to do my will. The other authority is named John Barleycorn, very old-fashioned name for alcohol, and he says, you had better do God's will or I will kill you. That's right out of AA Comes of Age, that quote. And that's pretty strong. But, you know, I believe I'd be dead today if I had continued drinking over these past almost 32 years now. And it's essential for me to have the desire to do God's will. And Bill addresses that too. And I just lost, there it is. For just as long as we were convinced that we could live exclusively by our own individual strength and intelligence, for just that long was a working faith in a higher power impossible. This was true even when we believed that God existed. We could actually have earnest religious beliefs which remained barren because we were still trying to play God ourselves. As long as we place self-reliance first, a genuine reliance upon a higher power was out of the question. That basic ingredient of all humility, a desire to seek and do God's will, was missing. So, this is what it's, I guess, humility, part of humility, which I found out, you know, humility is one of those sort of nebulous concepts, which we'll get into more in step six, right? Humbly. And he also discusses in here the misuse of willpower. And as far as he's concerned, it is when we try to make our will conform with God's that we begin to use it rightly. To all of us, this was a most wonderful revelation. Our whole trouble had been the misuse of willpower. We had tried to bombard our problems with it instead of attempting to bring it into agreement with God's intention for us. To make this increasingly possible is the purpose of AA's 12 steps. So it's saying there that, you know, we're working these steps so that we can come to that alignment of my will and God's will, where mine is pushed to the background. Okay, God, if this is what you want, this is what I'll do. And then God gives us gifts because of the willingness that we begin to have in this fellowship. And he talks about that by saying, we see that the sun never sets upon AA's fellowship. And this, by the way, was written in 65, because it's... that more than 350,000 of us have now recovered from our malady. And the day's number is quite a bit more than that. We have everywhere begun to transcend the formidable barriers of race, creed, and nationality. This assurance that so many of us have been able to meet our responsibilities for sobriety and growth and effectiveness in the troubled world where we live, we surely feel will surely fill us with the deepest joy and satisfaction. But as a people who have nearly always learned the hard way, oh yeah, we shall certainly not congratulate ourselves. We shall perceive these assets to be God's gifts, which would have been in part matched by an increasing willingness on our part to find and to do His will. So, that's the willingness component of the third step, as I've researched it. Then the next idea behind the third step is that dependence. And it's defined as a state of relying on or being controlled by someone or something else. And sitting here as an alcoholic, standing here as an alcoholic, I know about dependence on alcohol. You know, I willingly turned my life and my will over to the power of alcohol. You know, I did it for way too long. So what I need today is to change into a healthy dependence. And that dependence is in a power greater than myself. Whether it's the AA group, God of my understanding, whatever power I came to believe in step two, I need to become dependent on that power. And Bill addresses this also in, yeah, there it is. I'm glad that's big print. Here it is. From the grapevine back in 1962, we admitted we couldn't lick alcohol with our own remaining resources. So we accepted the further fact that dependence upon a higher power, if only our AA group, could do this hitherto impossible job. Another word I use often, hitherto. The moment we were able to accept these facts fully, our release from the alcohol compulsion had become. For most of us, this pair of acceptances required a lot of exertion to achieve. Our whole treasured philosophy of self-sufficiency had to be cast aside. This had not been done with sheer willpower. It came instead as a result of developing the willingness to accept these new facts of living. We neither ran nor fought, but except we did. And then we began to be free. You know, it isn't that flight or fright reaction. It's, okay, I'm here. Do with me. I have to chuckle. I'm going to say this because my sponsor said it, and so I can say it from the podium too. She's accused me of independent assholeism. You know? Of course, she's accused herself of it also. But, you know, there's healthy dependence and there's unhealthy dependence. And I had a lot of unhealthy dependences in my life. Whether it was to alcohol or to men or, you know, well, anyhow. So, the best dependence for me, according to Bill, comes in. There it is. We discovered the best possible source of emotional stability to be God Himself. We found that dependence upon His perfect justice, forgiveness, and love was healthy, and that it would work where nothing else would. If we really depended upon God, we couldn't very well play God to our fellows, nor would we feel the urge to wholly rely on human protection and care. So there is very, very healthy dependence. And I've often heard people struggling with, you know, what's my will, what's God's will, how do I tell the difference, that kind of thing. And it often comes up when we're beginning to think about working this third step. And what do I do? Well, my first is usually to call my sponsor. I have made no major decision in my life without first bouncing it off my sponsor, hearing her suggestions. This brain, it can't be trusted. It really can't. to make good decisions for myself. And Bill has a guide for making those decisions. And it is, goes like this. God is supposed, or no, let me try that again. Man is supposed to think and act. He wasn't made in God's image to be an automaton. My own formula along this line runs as follows. First, think through every situation, pro and con. Praying, meanwhile, that I not be influenced by ego considerations. Affirm that I would like to do God's will. Then, having turned the problem over in this fashion and getting no conclusive or compelling answer, I wait for further guidance, which may come into the mind directly or through other people or through circumstances. If I feel I can't wait and still get no definite indication, I repeat the first measure several times. You know, the pros and the cons. Try to pick out the best course and then proceed to act. I know that if I am wrong, the heavens won't fall. A lesson will be learned in any case. So he doesn't mention call him a sponsor in here, but that's my first course of action, is to call a sponsor in making any kind of decision. And then the other thing that I've heard suggested when I'm debating, is this my will or is this God's will? And I don't debate it much anymore, but I remember doing that a lot in early sobriety, my first time through the third step. And some people suggest the God box, or whatever your higher power is. And if there's a situation that's really bugging me, and I don't see a resolution, write it out, put it in there. I've given it to my higher power. And I left I heard a woman one time say at a meeting, when I start thinking about it, I actually go back to my God box, open it up, take it out of there, because I'm taking my will back from the God box. And I thought, that's pretty neat practice. So that's almost everything I have on the third step. Almost, I said. Stay where you are. Almost. And the final reading from As Bill Sees It. And you may join me if you know this and if you're ready to do it. At step 3, many of us said to our Maker as we understood Him, God, I offer myself to Thee to build with me and to do with me as Thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of Thy power, Thy love, and Thy way of life. May I do Thy will always. We thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready. Then we could commence to abandon ourselves utterly to Him. Thank you.
Thanks, Helen. Thanks, Helen. There it goes. All right, next we have question and answers. Is there any questions?
Can I sit on? No.
No, you know Kevin's going to get you.
I know.
You got it.
No.
It's sure I'm a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Paige will give you one. There we go.
Paige.
Yeah, one.
Thank you, Helen. That was wonderful. First, I have a comment. I liked when you reminded me what it meant to make a decision. Because when I look back on a lot of the decisions that I made before I came into the program, many of them were made without really thinking. Because I wanted to, or because it felt good, or because it got me somewhere, or because I didn't really think about a lot of my decisions. And I have to remember that, because now I do. And the other question I have for you is, I've often heard people say, especially when you're new, that step three just means you've made a decision to do the rest of the steps and leave it at that. Because if you're new and you don't have a lot of spirituality, and I sure as hell didn't when I came in, trying to figure out what God was or my higher power was pretty daunting. So I was told, just do step three, that you're going to make a decision to do the rest of the steps. Keep going to meetings, do what you have to do. You'll eventually catch up with it. You'll figure it out. Do you think that's a good way of looking at it, especially if you're new, or if it gets too simplistic?
No, I don't think it's too simplistic, because I even mentioned that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, this decision that I'm making in step three, the footwork for it is steps 4 through 10. And so, to keep it simple, when you're new, make the decision to work the rest of the steps. It'll come. I believe that. So, yeah, I think it's a good way if someone's, especially if someone's fighting me. Yep. Thanks, Paige.
Anyone else?
Thanks, Helen. Always great to hear you. I'm going through a horrible custody thing with my grandson. It's been a real nightmare for almost a year now. And this step is so important for me right now. Just this past week, I obsessed about the situation, just like I did with, you know, drugs and alcohol. And I physically got myself sick. I had migraines and depression and everything else. So what would you say about me, you know, giving the situation over and then taking it back? Is it just like a matter of practice, or what can you tell me about that?
Oh, well, I really like that idea of a God box. And one other thing that I have used in the past, obsessing. I've had to have two biopsies for cancer in my life, in sobriety. The first one, they did the biopsy, and while I'm waiting on results, I'm deciding whether I will wear a scarf, buy a wig, you know, I went the whole routine with it. So, and of course it turned out to be negative. So fast forward a few years, I have to have a second biopsy. And remembering what I did in that first biopsy, I didn't want to ignore it. You know, I can't just ignore it. But in my mind, okay, if I'm a little crazy, that's okay. I put it in a little box in my mind. And it said, do not enter. And I would acknowledge, yep, I'm starting to think, oh, do not enter. There's nothing I can do. I've done everything I need to do. I will get the word. And that time, I was calm waiting for the results. And they were negative again. So the two situations, one I played with it forever in my mind, and the other one I, nope, just do not enter. And so one of those two may help. So thanks. Good to see you.
Ready, Kevin?
Yes, hard questions.
Thanks again, Helen. I'm never going to let you out 4:20 after, so.
Okay.
Anyway. The third step is really one of those steps that's, at least for me, I found that that was the beginning of the foundation of my spiritual program. When you're working with people and they're kind of, okay, sure, it's a spiritual program. and they're not really, their heart or soul isn't into it, and they're just kind of just buying it. What kind of information do you give them? Do you give them like stuff to read, or what's your guidance on that?
Well, not very good. I don't think I've ever worked with anyone past the fourth step. I have gotten them through the third step. But, you know, I think what Paige said, you know, are you willing to do the rest of the steps? Okay, it's going to be some work. It's going to be some hard work. If I do not have a belief that there is something greater than myself in charge of my life, I'm going to drive myself nuts with the fourth step inventory. Because, you know, if I don't believe that fourth step, which we'll talk about in 2 weeks, I get next week off. You know, we're digging up a lot of crap about our lives. A lot of things that I didn't want to look at. And so I need to know that I'm being taken care of while I go through this process. So it's about the best I'd rather talk about A squared plus B squared equals C squared, but did I answer you? Okay.
Hi, she's telling me something about the app. Helen, thanks a lot for that. In the 12 and 12, the chapter for the third step, page 36, it says, the more I become willing to depend on a higher power, the more independent I actually am.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really important to me when I read it. I think it was a turning point in my sobriety, seeing those words and knowing that I could rely on that. How do you feel about that?
The longer I stay sober, the absolute more I'm convinced of that. You know, in that prayer I talked about where I was arranging and rearranging, twisting and turning to get things turn out the way I wanted them to turn out. I have had phenomenal examples in my life, particularly in this last 2 years, of where my willingness to just say, okay, God, I don't know how this is supposed to work, God. It's yours. Let it work, God. And, you know, just unbelievable things continue to happen in my life. Just a real small incident of this week. My two sons, my son and daughter-in-law, like my other son, I was thinking about going down to Pittsburgh tomorrow night for a scrimmage, my grandson's high school scrimmage. And my other son asked to borrow my car because he needed a bigger hauling capacity. And I'm thinking, oh no, I said I'd go to Pittsburgh. How am I going to handle it? How am I going to handle it? Well, I told my older son he could borrow the car tomorrow because Saturday I needed it. But then I thought, okay, God, I don't know how you're going to work this one. So I get a text from my other son that Friday night's just a scrimmage, and my grandson will probably only be in for a fourth of the plays. It's not a regular preseason type game. I said, well, I'm not driving. I texted back to him, I don't think I'll drive on 5 hours, you know, to back. It worked out. I didn't have to connive and, you know, come up with. It worked out. And it continues to do that. Big things and little things. So, yeah, I firmly believe. Thank you.
I'll make it quick. Okay.
Oh, no, you're going to.
This is at the very end, in the 12 and 12, it has the Serenity Prayer. Okay? And I've done the third step with four sponsors, and I've sponsored a lot of people through the third step. The first time, one of my sponsors had me get on my knees with him, and say the Serenity Prayer with him at the end of the third step. Do you do that, or have you done that?
No,
with yours?
I've never done the Serenity Prayer at the end of the third step prayer. I have gotten on my knees with certain of my sponsees, not all of them. In fact, one sponsee and her sponsee, the three of us went over to Akron and we knelt by Dr. Bob's bed and did the third step prayer. Is that any guarantee? No, both of them went back up, but I'm still here, so it worked for me. But, you know, but I've never finished it up with the Serenity Prayer.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's a good idea. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Keep that in mind.
That's it. Thanks, Helen.
Oh.
Yes. Okay, thank you, Helen. All right.